Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news-ad-free. That's amazon.com/news-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
From the home of time.
It is now quite a day for local sport from your local team. Woo!
This is Charlton Live.
When the red, red Robin comes bob, bob, bobbing along, along, there'll be no more sobbing when he stops robbing his home. Sweet song. Cheer up, cheer up, the sun is red. Live, love, laugh and be happy. What if I be blue? Now I'm walking through fields of flowers. Rain may glisten, but still I listen for hours and hours. I'm just a kid again, doing what I did again, singing a song. When the red, red Robin comes bob, bob, bobbing along.
Clash with the Gas, Enzall Square, and the race for the playoffs couldn't be any tighter. Welcome to Charlton Live. So, good evening to you all, and welcome to Charlton Live here on Maritime Radio on your Sunday evening. My name is Louis Mendez, and joining me here in the studio as we get set to look back at yesterday's 1-1 draw with Bristol Rovers is Nathan Malay. How you doing, Nath?
Living the dream, mate.
Yeah, living it, yeah. I'm alright, yeah. Glad we eventually made it home from Bristol yesterday after our train problems.
Yeah, we got someone was nicking the wiring from the signal box or something.
Yeah.
But it's nice to see a ground with like 8 or 9 different stands in there, which is a bit weird. Yeah. Like tents.
Memorial Stadium, yeah. It's a beautiful little stadium. I quite enjoyed it, actually. I thought it was a nice little ground to go and visit. And the other person joining us here in the studio also got to sit in one of those 9 stands yesterday was Lewis Cat. How are you doing, Lewis?
I don't know about sitting down. I had to stand up for the whole thing. Yeah. It was horrible. No roof.
I mean, yeah, but...
Didn't rain.
No defeat either, and that's the main thing.
That is the main thing.
So on tonight's show, we will hear highlights of yesterday's 1-1 draw with the Gas from the Valley Pass commentary in a little while. We're also going to hear from Lee Bowyer, his full interview after yesterday's game. And of course, we're going to discuss the fact that the playoff run couldn't be much tighter. Now, we're getting together a list of all the fixtures coming up for the teams in and around the playoffs situation and try and work out who's going to end up on what points, and that prediction will be final. We will email it to the Football League and call off the rest of the season and just go with whatever we say it will be as long as we end up in the playoffs. and we've got to look ahead to Tuesday's game at AFC Wimbledon, so if you guys want to have your say on that or anything from yesterday's game, the playoff race, anything you want to have your say on, you can email us studio@charltonlive.co.uk. You can tweet us at Charlton Live. You can head over to the Charlton Live forum. There's a thread on there where you can discuss tonight's show and anything you want to have your say on as well. Before we head into the highlights, Nath, like I say, you were there yesterday. Yeah. 1-1 draw in the end. Fair result?
I would say on the balance of play, I think we probably had shaded it. But I mean, you looked at the stats, it was quite level. We had a couple more shots. But yeah, I would have said it was probably a fairer result. I think it would have been quite a bit of a robbery if we did come away with 3 points. But needless to say, I thought we did play well at times. First half, not so much. But I thought second half, I thought Reeves done really well and bossed the game, I thought, but and he just seems to be getting stronger and stronger each week.
And Lewis, I mean, was your opinion that it was a fair result after that game?
Yeah, I'd say so. I mean, like Nave says, I think we probably just about shaded it, but I think it would have been a bit of an injustice if we'd have pinched it at the end. But then again, we were both quite nervous that they were going to pinch it at the end.
Yeah, just do a typical Charlton.
So I'd take a draw. Still unbeaten under Bow, so not bad.
Excellent stuff. Well, let's have a listen to the highlights of yesterday's game. Greg Stubbley and Terry Smith on Valley Pass.
Turns inside, finds a rebo, instant ball to Gyro. Gyro's got Kaikai on the left, if he wants to use him, does so. Kaikai on the overlap. Little lovely touch, his man, he's into the 6-yard box. Oh, trying to get it across to Jose. The keeper clears it away for the first Charlton corner of the afternoon.
Did everything right but the finish, Kaikai. A superb little bit of football from Charlton. Gyro picking up in the middle, out wide left to Kaikai, made a great run. The first touch was quite heavy, invited the challenge, I think, from Moore. He got past whoever the right back is, actually it was Clark, got past James Clark into the box, and he headed Jose square and another player square, and in the end I think he went for goal and the keeper tips it behind him.
Pick out Page inside to Rebo, a little touch from Kaikai, lovely. Beautiful. Reverse ball from Gyro into a Jose with a shot the keeper couldn't handle, and it's away for a corner.
Again, the football superb from the Alex. They get a bit of joy down his left hand side. Kaikai in particular has shown some really nice touches early on. He's a little delightful little flick towards Gyro, laid it off for Jose. Jose only had one thought in his mind. It was a stinging effort which the goalkeeper Slocum couldn't handle. That's the parrot behind him.
His namesake Clark, who turns inside and then switches it across to Harrison on the opposite side. He's got an overlap of Brown if he wants to use it. Stead goes for shot to the right hand side. What a save from Amos. But it's still in the field and crossed in by Brown. And I don't know how that got up in the air. Was it a Charlton foot? I think it might have been. Either Forster, Caskey or Pierce. But what a save from Amos. It looked like that was Haring in the bottom right-hand corner.
He hit it so well, Harrison. Charlton with some poor defending on his right-hand side, though.
Okay, cleared upfield in this one by... it's a loose header back from Pierce. It was won by Moore. A bouncing ball from the goal kick. Caught Charlton on the hop. Dick still couldn't get there. But Moore got there first. And then Jason Pierce, all he had to do was cushion the header back to Ben Amos. And he got it totally wrong. And it was Bennett who followed the ball into the penalty area, and he planted the finish past Amos, who stood no chance.
Yeah, there's two errors there from Charlton. The initial goal kick came in, they didn't win the first set, I didn't see who that was. The ball loops up and Pierce tries to go back to Amos, doesn't get the connection, and credit to Bennett, who just ran in behind and tapped home. It's a poor goal for Charlton to concede. Pierce will be disappointed in that.
Out defence, out left to Page, inside to Aribo. Aribo beats Bennett momentarily. Ball down the line to Kaikai. Back to Aribo. Lovely reverse touch to Reeves. This is good football from Charlton. Out left to Jose. Picks it up. Will go for goal. Nicky Jose. Oh! It's a good save from Silcombe. Just tipped it over. It's a great effort from a Jose. Kaitlin side onto his right foot on the edge of the box. Looking for the far corner. Hit it perfectly. The goalkeeper Slocombe just got his left fingertip on it. Tip it behind for a Charlton corner.
Well, that looked like it had goal written all over it. The way it was a lovely move from Charlton, and that's what we've been missing, really. That little sharp movement and finding space. And it released to Jose on the left-hand side of the penalty area. A lovely curling effort, which the keeper did well to serve this corner.
Force Keski of the corner. It's a decent one. Aribo wins the header and just wide. Aribo will be desperately unhappy with himself, though. He got ahead of his man. It was a nice little flick goalbound and just wide. Seemed favourite to get that at least on target. Had he done so, probably been one all here.
Closed down by Lockyer, looking for a bit of space to potentially cross. Goes right to Dicksteel. Dicksteel cuts inside, backwards to Aribo. Aribo forced Caskey. Reeves, good ball inside to Kaikai on the edge of the box. Kaikai back to Reeves, shooting opportunity. Reeves shoots.
Goal! Deflection! And Ben Reeves gets jumped back in the game on the edge of the box. He's teed up by Kaikai, took a touch. Took a massive deflection off of Bristol Rovers defender Ron Vitt, the goalkeeper Slocum, who couldn't adjust back down to his left hand side to tip it away. And Charlton a level just before half
time. What a time to score. And Ben Reeves, who in that move picked out two or three sublime passes to keep the move going, and then he came across here to the right hand side. Dicksteel seemed a bit reluctant to make the overlap and didn't go past, so he's back to Joe Rebo. But Ben Reeves always stayed available and was there for the pass and was there for the return, and then it sort of opened up a little bit in front of him. He had runners left and right. Instead, he chose to make the shot, took a wicked deflection which almost certainly took it away from Slocum. But Charlton won't mind it, buried in the back of the net, and we're back on one.
Charlton forward towards Shiro. Had to be a free kick, and referee plays on. Shiro, long ball out left, will find Kaikai, keeps it in. Kaikai with the page on the overlap, approaching the penalty. Kaikai cuts inside onto his right foot, back out to his left. Kaikai still blocked. And it'll be a Charlton.
It's come back off.
Kaikai is unlucky there. His lovely footwork to cut inside onto his left foot, and he had three Bristol Rovers players close him down, and he was unlucky as his shot deflected back off of him. Now for a Bristol Rovers cross instead, we'll look for the ball inside to Kaikai. He's got Bennett closing down. Kaikai still with it. Good ball out right to Rees in a bit of space. Rees thinking about a shot, gets it on the side to his left foot, goes for goal.
Oh,
that's a good save from Slocum. Looked like he's finding the back of the net. Superb strike from Rees.
It almost looked like Slocum had dived too soon.
Yeah,
and,
totally
looked
agree.
Like he might have caught him out and was looping over the top of him. He did really well with that left hand to scoop it round for this corner, but another lovely
Rees
effort.
It's a good first touch. Rees thinking about a shot, chips it forward. It might fall for Jaro. Does Jaro?
Oh,
he just tried to chip it over the goalkeeper. The idea was right from Michael Jaro, narrow angle. We put too much on it over the bar.
Going to be a corner. Foster Caskey preparing to take this on the far side. Charlton starting to run, starting to move. Jaro one of them, Bauer the other. It's a deep one towards Bauer. Oh, it's headed up in the air by Harrison. Strapped to a rebound. Shot goal. Off the line. Pierce is in there. So is Bauer again.
How's that stayed out?
The ball over the line, but Bristol clear it away and up to Gaffney. But his goalkeeper's down injured.
Oh, dearie me. It's cleared off the line. A Rebo shot. He couldn't really get the proper connection. And somehow it scrambled clear off the 6-yard box. Didn't go to Pierce. He's shot goal bound. It's deflected down. Came to Bow and eventually it scrambled clear.
It's the final whistle as the goal kick comes away. Honours shared here at the Memorial Stadium. Probably a fair result. An absolute battling performance from both sides.
So there we heard the highlights on Valley Pass of yesterday's 1-1 draw with Bristol Rovers. Terry said, at the end, that he thought it was, a fair result. But I think, if you have to look at the quality of the chances in that second half, I do feel we had the better of that.
Yeah, I think in the second half, it did seem like the majority of the play was in their half. We did, even though on paper, I think we only had like three shots on target, more than them, possession about 45-55. But yeah, that we did have the ones that noted, like the one off the line, and obviously Reeves is one, which obviously Terry said. So, yeah, we did in a way, but I still think it might have been a bit of a kick in the teeth for them if they did lose. But we said off air, they're the fifth top scorers in the league, so we can't. It's not like they're bottom of the league and struggling. Mm. They're no slouches,
Not many teams go to the men.
Exactly.
And I think Jake from New Shopper said it yesterday. Apparently, that was other than Shrewsbury, no one's won there in 2018 since the turn of the year. So, we asked Bayer after if we thought it was a handy point. Now he seemed pretty frustrated at the end, but overall, is a point quite useful in this stage. Keeps us in the playoffs with the results elsewhere sort of going our way as well.
Yeah, I'd say so. Obviously, it's going to be frustrated. We could have had the opportunity potentially to pull away a bit more, but I think you take a point. It should never be snuffed at getting a point away away from home, especially against a side like Bristol Rovers, who, like Nathan says, they're not exactly down there. They're mid table. They weren't too far off it themselves, even though their manager sort of written them off. Making the playoffs, they're not a million miles away. So, I think a point's a decent result down there. I'll move on to Tuesday and go from there.
The team news before the game was quite interesting. Made three changes. Obviously, we knew Tariq Fosu was going to be out for 2 weeks by the sounds of it with his injury. So Silly Kaikai came in. But perhaps the more interesting one on the day was the fact that both fullbacks changed over. So obviously last week we had little Jay De Silva at left back and Ezri Konsa at right back. But that was on Monday against Rotherham. Carl Lee decided to revert back to Lewis Page in the left back position and Anthony Dixon in the right back position, who had played so well in his first couple of games. So obviously it was a little bit of rotation involved there. We found out since then that Jay's got a little bit of a tight thigh as well, so a bit of an injury problem as well. But were you surprised before the game when you saw that lineup?
Obviously it was only until obviously we knew little Jay had an injury because we said on Thursday we all said that Jay would start. But it's not like we've got any. I wouldn't say a backup, but I think Page again done really well yesterday. Yesterday he done really well. So I was surprised by Jake still starting. I don't know if it was a tactical one because we got Wimbledon on Tuesday, maybe. I don't know, but I think first half, I thought Anthony looked a bit shaky. I think they got down at that right, our right hand side, a little bit too easy in some points in the first half, and he seemed to grow into the game as it wore on. But yeah, I mean, apart from that, it was obviously Jay was injured, so obviously, you know, Lewis is going to come in. But yeah, the right back was more of a surprise with me.
What did you make of Sully Kai Kai's performance yesterday? Obviously, he hasn't had the best of times since he's come in from Palace, but he's started to grow a little bit over the last few weeks again now, hasn't he?
Yeah, I thought he had a couple of moments yesterday where he did look quite dangerous. But he's obviously got that task to fill the place of Tariq now while he's out injured. I mean, he's done it before at that level with Shrewsbury and everything, so I'd like to think that he's going to come up trumps at some point. And I think, like you say, he's getting better and better every week. He just needs that spark in a game, you know, maybe push on and get a goal at some point. Maybe it'll give him a bit of confidence. Yeah. But he's looked a lot better in the last couple of weeks when he's come on and started.
Because he nearly had that spark right at the start of the game yesterday. Two or three or 4 minutes in, he sort of danced his way in on the left-hand side, you know, pulled a save out of the goalkeeper there. I mean, a good bit of run there, a little bit of a flash of something that we'd hope to see a bit more often from him.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is with Saleh, he frustrates in a way, because I always mention back to the Bradford home game, that first half, where the way he can move with the ball, and just his acceleration so quickly with the ball, it's like, it's hard to get near him, and he needs to do that a lot more, I think. But, you know, I think it's going to be another sort of Reeve situation. Now he's got this opportunity, he needs to take this now, because he's going to get good 3-4 games. Because I think he came in the side, then he was out, and then he's cameo appearances. And I think he just needs that little bit of run now to get that confidence. Because I think we can all see he's got it in him, but he just needs to do it on a bit more of a consistent basis, I think.
When he did dance, that was one of the few times we actually got beyond them in the early stages in particular. Because I thought Bristol Rovers did look like quite a difficult team to break down. Particularly in that first half. I mean, if you look at the next chance that fell to Nikia Jose, it was a shot from distance, and there was a couple of times where that seemed to be a Jose's best chance of getting a goal yesterday, is when he sort of drops a little bit deep to try and have an effort from outside the box.
Yeah, I mean, they did look quite decent as a defensive unit yesterday, Bristol Rovers, and the pitch didn't really help either. I thought it was quite a bobbly pitch, and I suppose the way we play, usually it's never going to be, wasn't going to help us out like whatsoever. But it's like Nate said earlier, and you've alluded to there with Kai Kai, I think he needs that boost that Ben Reeves has just received, because he's a different player the last few weeks to what he has been. I think Kai Kai's got that in him as well. But yeah, you know, defence yesterday sort of restricted us to taking those chances like a Joe they had from outside the box, and that's sort of what
we were. What do you make about Nikia Jose since he's come back in under Lee Bayer? Because obviously, you know, he seems to be very much frozen out of the club under Carl Robinson. Went up to Bury, wasn't playing many minutes up there, but my awkward handshake with him at the away game with Bury persuaded him to come back to the Valley, and he's been given a chance now under Lee. Now we've gone to this two up front situation.
Yeah, I mean, maybe that handshake was his turning point. But yeah, I was saying to the guys I go with, and I was saying to Nath yesterday, I think he just looks like a completely different player. And he's just got, now we're playing to his strengths and playing with that two up front, he looks a lot more dangerous. And although he's not exactly getting the goals at the moment, the dummies that he's, you know, the assists that he's getting through dummies, and his work rate, I know Lee Bowie has alluded to it a few times now, that where he's covering so much grass. And he had this sort of thing around him where it was like, Nicky Jose, he doesn't care, he's not putting the effort in. But I think the last few weeks, and since he's been back in the side, it's been the complete opposite of that, and he seems to be everywhere. And I think if he wasn't running so much and we had to take him off after an hour every single week, he probably would have got a goal by now.
I was going to make a wild accusation that I wonder if just because maybe if his contract was coming up, but I've just double checked and I think it's going on for another year yet, so maybe he is just trying to play his way back into the team. And he certainly, without scoring a goal, he certainly looked very lively. Although, I mean, to be fair, yesterday wasn't his best game, just because it was quite difficult to find the space because of Bristol Rovers, the way they set up to stop us playing, I guess.
Yeah, I know. The first half, I thought we played into Bristol Rovers' hand. All, you know, we do know that the pitch was a monstrosity, but you know, you had, what was it, Broadbent and the old Millwall Tony Craig at the back. Every time we kept lumping the ball back, they were never going to lose those headers. So obviously you're never going to lump it up to Nicky, so that's why it was obviously dropping deep. But when we did try and get it down and get it into the space on the outside, that's when we were most successful. But you know, I think when we done it, we showed what we could do. It's just that shame. It was a shame the first half we didn't do enough of it, because I think the first half was a bit of a poor game. I thought.
So their guys really kept Michael Jairo out of the game yesterday. Yeah. They really restricted
him. They bullied him a little bit. I thought. I was surprised Josh didn't come on sooner.
I thought Josh would have come on when Jose went off. I thought he'd have taken off Jairo for Josh, but he didn't.
Yeah, right. So, I mean, we had a couple of corners. There's corners at both ends, really, in the opening 10 minutes or so. But then there was a great shot from Harrison that forced the first real big save of the game. The Amos got down well to his right and kept out. I mean, that was a decent save, considering, I mean, we spoke to Ben after the game. He mentioned, considering how difficult the pitch is, sometimes you, as a goalkeeper, it's hard to get a good footing on a pitch like that. But he managed to get one and get down to his bottom corner.
Yeah, I mean, Ben's just, I think, after the first sort of couple of games where he made a couple of mistakes, he's been brilliant. And it just seems like every game he makes an absolute worldy of a save. And like he said, I mean, it can't be easier, because on that pitch, you can hear, I mean, you can see when they were passing the ball sometimes, it was bobbling up and hitting them on the shins and stuff. So as a goalie, you know, and if they're not hitting it cleanly, he could take any bobble, and it was a great save. But I thought, again, he was really solid yesterday. Come out, done well on crosses, and just like the two centre-halves, I thought we were actually brilliant defensively yesterday.
I mean, what have you made of his performances thus far, Lewis, this season, Ben Amos? Because obviously, like as Nave mentioned there, I think we just had a slight concern about him after the first couple of games where he dropped a couple of crosses or something. But ever since then, he's been pretty much flawless.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I was making this comparison the other day to Plymouth away to Plymouth at home. I remember, you know, he had a bit of a... not a nightmare, but it didn't have his best game up at Plymouth, down at Plymouth, should I say. But I've been really impressed by Ben Amos, and I think where he's had this period where he's not been consistent in and around a side, whatever club he's been at, this season he's not really missed a game, is he? I don't think he's actually missed a league game. I can't remember the last time he didn't play a league game.
I can't remember if Phillips might have had a couple of games.
No, he was played in the Checker trade, didn't he?
Yeah. And I just think that now he's got that run of games behind him, and he looks like a really decent goalkeeper, and I don't know if he's a freebie in the summer, but I wouldn't mind snapping him up.
That'd be interesting, because I think the rumour was that his wages at Bolton were quite high, which is why a lot of clubs have struggled to Bolton have struggled to sort of move him on permanently. He's gone on a lot of loans, so again, I'm not entirely sure of his contract situation actually, but it'd be interesting to see if he is available. But surely you'd have to take a bit of a wage cut if he's getting paid.
Yeah, I mean, if he was available and took the wage cut, you'd take him all day long based on this season, the way he's been.
Now, just with the way the game was going yesterday, it did feel like perhaps a mistake was going to lead to the goal, rather than, because both teams were defending pretty well. And it was such a simple Route 1 goal over the top. It all started off with a goal kick down the other end, and it's just been flicked on. And then, you know, Jason Pearce must have nodded the ball back to his goalkeeper 1,000 times in his career. And it's just, you know, he was doing the right thing. The keeper was there to be nodded to, but he's just undercooked it, hasn't he, really? And let the player in, Carl Bennett. And it's just a little bit frustrating. But I guess, you know, you don't expect such a mistake from Jason, because he's normally so consistent.
Yeah, and it was gutting, really, because, I mean, when he headed it back, I started thinking, well, was it because of the pitch? Is it because it's obviously not zippy, and it's, you know, it's just stood there? But yeah, it was a pretty poor one, but he put his hands up, and yeah, I mean, Carl Bennett, he's the old Brighton bloke, isn't he, Carl Bennett? Is he the old winger at Brighton?
Well, he was a lively player, wasn't he, with a top knot on the go, yeah.
That's what I mean. So, I mean, and to be fair to the lad, you know, he's gambled, and he's got a thing, but it was disappointing. But it was more frustrating, because they didn't really, apart from a couple of long range efforts, they didn't really trouble us, I didn't think.
No, not at all.
And that was but you know, Jason, as soon as he put his hands up, and he tried getting the boys going, even though it was his mistake, and I'm sure he would have said sorry.
Yeah, I mean, a character like his, you know, captain of the team yesterday, and you know, he's won this league before, you wouldn't expect that to play on his mind too much. You just sort of put it behind him and then just carry on.
Exactly. And you know what, he's been sensational the last few weeks, and it was a really out of character mistake. So yeah, I think, like you said, he held his hands up. We move on. It happens to everybody, doesn't it?
Yeah, what did you make of our reaction to falling behind, though?
Great. I think, you know, because, I mean, many a times in the last few years, we've also always gone 1-0 down, and then we can never see us getting a goal, let alone coming back. So I thought I think it gave us a bit of a wake-up call, and I think it just kicked us into gear a little bit. And I think we started moving the ball around with a bit more purpose instead of going too direct. That's when I started to see us carving open a lot more.
Yeah, and we started to win a bucket load of corners as well, didn't we? So we started to react like that, perhaps without getting any too much joy from those corners. I think there was one that was that went back across the goal that Bauer headed back in, and that might have been before the goal indeed, actually, that ended up being scrambled wide. But then we did see that effort from a Jose where he came deep and he looked to curl it right. I thought that was going right in the top corner, and Slocum pulled off a great save, didn't he? And a decent effort from a Jose.
Yeah, really decent effort, and like I'm desperate for him to get a goal. I'm so desperate for him to get a goal because he's really earned it the last few weeks.
Yeah, and then from the resulting corner, Joe Rebo with his head again after his goal against Rotherham during the week headed just wide. Another corner that Pierce headed wide. So you can see we started to turn the screw, and then the goal did come. Now, a few of the goals we've scored recently, if you look at the first goal in particular against Northampton on Good Friday, have come at the end of some really tidy little quick pass and move, moves where we're passing the ball neat and tidy in between ourselves, or sometimes in quite a little confined little spaces, and then eventually find a bit of space. And that's what we did here for this goal, right on the stroke of half time. We were just moving it around down the right hand side, desperately trying to find space for a cross. It didn't happen, but we kept moving it quickly. If you keep doing that, then eventually a defender's going to get dragged a yard out of position, and Ben Reeves saw his chance, hit it. I mean, slight deflection that perhaps made it spin a little bit out of the goalkeeper's grasp, but you know, Ben Reeves in particular, how much has he improved over the last few weeks?
Oh yeah, he's been brilliant. I mean, and obviously that little bit of play there, it's so simple. I mean, it was just little triangles. We had two triangles on each time, and it was a one touch layoff, came into Kai Kai, and he struck it sweetly, and he had that shot, which was a great save. But like I said before, obviously with the highlights, I think now he's getting a run of games, you can really see not only shooting and passing, but just his intelligence when he has the ball. There were so many times yesterday where he'll get a ball at his feet in a tight angle, and he'll just shift his body, and he's left the geezer for dead. He's like, right, see you later. And he's got all this time again, and he can drop deep. He's a nice little player that you have. Something similar to Billy Clark, in a way. But obviously, he plays a little bit more deeper than Billy. But I think the last few weeks, he's been... Well, I mean, obviously, Aribo's going to be pushing him, but he's up there for obviously one of our best players since both come.
Yeah, so half-time came. It was quite an entertaining half-time break with some sort of giant pasty doing the rounds, as well as a man in drag on his stag do taking a penalty in off the post. The fact that the half-time entertainment overspilled, like, Chong were already on the pitch by the time the man in the in the dress was taking a penalty, but that didn't deter him in off the upright. Right, then we came back in, and I think Chong did seem to certainly start on the front foot at the start of that second period. Again, it was very similar to the start of the first half. Like, Kai Kai had that great chance where he again danced his way into the box and again just had a shot blocked. So, I mean, as we said earlier, you can see he's starting to get sort of back into some sort of rhythm now, and perhaps a run of games like it has done for Reeves will hopefully start to bring the best out of him just as we start to approach the end of this season.
Yeah, absolutely. I think if he can get onto a bit of form, then, you know, he's obviously got the talent to do it. So he could be important in the run-in. I suppose it's good just to have those options on that side. I mean, obviously it's gutting that we've lost Tariq for a couple of weeks, but the options are, you've got Steffi, you've got Mark Marshall, who didn't even get on the pitch yesterday, and you've got Sully Kai Kai. Reeves has been sort of sticking out wide a little bit lately. Well, I think Reeves has been everywhere lately, but we've got the options there, and I think it'd be nice if he could get a little run together, especially while Tariq's out, because Tariq's pretty unplayable when he's on the pitch. So
I mean, Tom, I think it was Tom who mentioned on Thursday that he would have picked Marshall over Kai Kai. Do you think you could have seen Marshall putting in that sort of performance that Sully did yesterday?
To be honest, look, I mean, Marshall's a good player, but I don't think he can fit into a narrow system. I think he's more of a chalk on your boot sort of cross the ball, which is, that's his asset. That's not, you know, he's not a dribbler. He doesn't take many people on. He'll usually get it out of his feet, use his acceleration, get out of his feet, and then whip the ball in. He's not one to sort of drive at people, whereas a Sully and a Fosu, they're the ones that drive at people. But and that's why I think Marshall probably won't get too much game time in this system. He might change it, but I can't see him playing. He isn't going to play a DM, he ain't going to play in the two centres, and he ain't going to play at the top of the diamond. That's the only place he can play in that. But yeah, I just can't see him playing in it. But it's a shame, because I want Marshall to do well, because I know he's a good player. But at the end of the day, when it's not broken, you don't fix it, do you?
Yeah, the Reeves had a decent opportunity from sort of about 25 yards out, where it looked like he was picking out the top corner, and the keeper just about scrambled and got something onto it. I don't know if it'd be fair to say the chances sort of dried up a little bit after that. I mean, we were having most of the ball, but again, not quite creating what we wanted for a little while. I mean, there was a great cross from Page that was just over the head of Zyra. And just before that, in fact, there was a ball that found its way to Zyra in the area from a really tight angle, and he just tried to dink it over the keeper but got it over the bar. I mean, as we said, in particular, Zyra, he just seemed a little bit marked out of the game yesterday. Mm. So when he was getting his few chances, he was just sort of perhaps snatched at that one a little bit.
Yeah, yeah, I think, like you say, he was completely marked out of the game yesterday. And I maybe would have swapped him out for Josh, earlier on, and seen how Josh had got on up there. But fair play to Bristol, they did keep him out of the game, and he has been lively the last few weeks. It would have been a bit of an injustice to take him out completely. Mm. But yeah, I think maybe on the hour mark, changed it up a little bit and seen what had happened. But isn't they quite similar players? So I don't know how much difference it would have made. Mm.
I think, Steffi Mabadidi came on for a Jose yesterday. What did you make of his performance, though?
Rusty.
Yeah?
Yeah, I think he looked a bit... don't get me wrong, we all know how good Steffi is, but I think he's still a way off of where he was. I mean, he's only just come back from injury, isn't he? So I wasn't expecting too much, but I just found him a bit apprehensive. I think he could have... just drove him a little bit more. But, I mean, yeah, he done okay. He didn't set the world alight, but he didn't have a bad game. But I just thought he looked really, really rusty. But you're only going to get, that's what everyone says, you're only going to get better when you get minutes under your belt. But will he start on Tuesday? I don't know. But that's in my opinion, that's what I think he needs. He needs some minutes under his belt.
I mean, do you think there is a chance he will?
I can see changes. I can see Josh starting on Tuesday.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he might give Zyra a little rest. Will he, if he maintains the two up front, is he going to play... is he going to play Steffi up front with Josh, or is he going to keep the Jose in now? I don't know. Or is he going to go to the dreaded 4-2-3-1? I don't know.
That seems unlikely.
All the listeners have just gone off now.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. But I can see changes. I just think people like that need minutes.
Yeah, it's interesting to note that, in fact, that Lee only actually made the one substitution until injury time, when McGuinness came on for Kai Kai. So other than that, we were playing with pretty much the same team, 10 of the same players for the whole 90, and that'll be interesting to see how that sort of translates into changes or whatnot on Tuesday. And I think our best chance to win it in the second half came from a corner about 6 minutes from the end, where it's just one of those old fashioned goal mouth scrambles, and it just felt to see how it didn't go in. So I think the corner came over, it came out to Aribo, poked it goalwards, just bouncing all over the place. Like Pierce and Bauer were both in there to have a go, and it just couldn't get that scramble over the line, because I mean if we could have done that, I mean, that would have been such a huge goal for us yesterday.
Oh, yeah, I don't know what the celebration. I was doing Greg Stubley noises at that stage, because I thought it was going in, and then I was envisaging doing a little bundle in that pile where that massive pond
pallets.
Yeah, little wheelbarrows, whatever. But yeah, no, it would have been an absolutely huge goal, especially with... It would have been a huge goal if something was like 5 minutes to go, like all the teams around us were losing, wouldn't they?
Yeah, yeah.
And then obviously Big Nove's got an equaliser or something, and then it sort of went against a little bit. But so if we got those...
Figures out where the goal is, maybe somewhere else.
Yeah, if we scored that, it would have been huge. But it wasn't to be, but... One of those things, isn't it? We can't have it all.
Yeah, I mean, they had a late corner, and I bet in weeks gone by, I think I could have seen us conceding there, and we didn't, which was good to see. So we come away with our point. And like I say, we'll hear from Lee Bowyer in a few seconds, but he was a bit frustrated, and he didn't really seem to accept the point. He would have much preferred all three, but I think I see it as a fairly handy point. Like I say, Bristol Rovers are a decent team, very difficult place to go, very tight ground with 12 stands, but loud crowd as well. It's quite a good little club down there at Bristol Rovers, and I thought come away with a decent point there, battled away, unbeaten run stretched to 5 now, 4 of which have come under Lee Bowyer. I see that as a positive result yesterday.
Yeah, it's not all bad, is it, really? No. We've been in worse positions, definitely. Yeah.
Right, let's have a listen to Lee Bowyer's interview after yesterday's game. Just before that, though, don't forget, if you want to have your say on tonight's show, you can email us, studio@charltonlive.co.uk. You can tweet us at Charlton Live, or you can head over to the Charlton Live forum. There's a thread on there for tonight's show. Right, this is what Lee Bowyer had to say after yesterday's draw. He came out to speak to myself and to Jake from the News Shopper.
I think we, first half, I thought we were sloppy. Dave was first to everything. They won every second ball. We didn't move the ball quick enough. I thought that we was definitely not the same side first half, but second half I thought we stepped it up again, and we created a few chances, and I think on another day we would have won that game. but overall disappointed to be leaving with just a point, you know. Just makes Tuesday's game even more important now to go and win there.
It's the first time in your tenure that you've had to come from a goal behind as well. How important was that goal right on the strike of half-time?
Very, very important, because it shows that that their character, you know, and their togetherness to come from behind. And to be fair, it's a tough place, you know. The crowd were good, and pitch wasn't very good. And yeah, no, they showed good spirit and character to come from a goal behind. But I think we should have won it. I think looking back overall over the full 90 minutes, I think we had a lot of chances, good chances. Sully had a good chance first half. If he scores that, then it's a completely different game. But then second half, I think Joe had a couple. They cleared a couple off the line. Overall, we probably deserve to win, but in the end of the day, we didn't, and we just get ready for Tuesday now.
That scramble right at the end there, where I think it was Pierce and Bauer both had a couple of chances, just willing that ball to go over the line.
Yeah, you just want him to like mishit it, so then it bounces and goes in, you know. But is what it is. They defended well, and yeah, that's unfortunately we've just come away with just a 1 point.
Obviously disappointment with the way the goal was conceded in the first half, but Jason Pierce is the type of character who'll be able to come back from that.
Yeah, everyone makes mistakes, you know, they're human beings, we all make mistakes, and Pierce has been solid the last three games, and he's made a mistake, but there's a lot of good things that he's done today to make up for that mistake. So he puts his body on the line every time he steps on the pitch, and it's done now, and we'll just move on.
Obviously you were missing Tariq Fosu and you brought in Sully Kaikai. He said during the week he's going to have to prove his point today, and he had a lot of possession of the ball today, a lot of good runs.
Yeah, he played well, I thought. I thought his decision making was good. He rolled inside at the right times. I think he caused them a lot of problems. Just wish he would have taken that chance first half, and it would have probably given him the boost that he probably needed and a bit of confidence. But I thought, no, his overall performance, I thought he done well today.
And so it's another point, another game unbeaten for yourself to take into Tuesday's game at AFC Wimbledon, which is a big one, like they all are for the rest of the season now.
Yeah, there's six left now, and we've just got to keep winning games, or not losing games. But we want to obviously be taking the 3 points instead of ones. Ones ain't really that good at this stage of the season. If we win on Tuesday, then I think that puts us 4 points in front of others, so which is a nice little gap. And we've got to play a couple of the others, so. Yeah, I think at the moment I'm happy with the lads, you know. I said to them, like, this is 2 points dropped, really, but it's important now that we go and prepare properly for Tuesday.
Just finally, I mean, you said during the week that you were hoping that Ahmed Kashi would be available, but as he wasn't in the squad today, has he had a setback?
Yeah. Kashi trained again yesterday, but then after training he said he's the problem he has, his heel, or he's saying it's sore again, and so... he said he's not 100%, so he stayed at home.
Do you think he's got a chance for Tuesday?
No. Okay.
Is the heel of the Achilles that he injured before?
To be fair, I don't really know. It was his Achilles, obviously, his previous injury, but this is a completely different thing. It's more like his heel, so I don't know. I don't know how long he'll be, but obviously he was out for, 3 weeks or so, yeah. 4 weeks. But he's come back and he's starting to feel it again, so I'm not sure. I'll have to speak to the physio. Obviously that was late yesterday, just as we was about to leave, that we found that out. So yeah
Bristol Rovers, I think they've only lost once at home this year, in 2018, I think that was to Shrewsbury. So when you consider that, does it make it a good point today?
Not really, no. I think we should have won. Whatever game we go to and whatever ground we go to, we'll be looking to win. So if you're going to say, am I happy with a point? Not really. I think we had enough chances and created enough chances to win the game. I think there was only going to be one team that was going to win in the second half, and I thought that was us. So obviously, points better than nothing, but yeah, a bit disappointing, to be honest.
Yeah, you rotated your fullbacks again. Does that kind of show how much quality and depth you have, you know, especially in those positions?
Yeah, little Jay's struggling as well. So little Jay De Silva, he had a tight fire. He didn't after yesterday's training. So he didn't train yesterday. So yeah, so that's something obviously have to think about. I think Lewis Page got cramp again, so I'm lucky in that department, like obviously the fullbacks, but more so on the right now than the left.
Yeah, just like Ahmed, is Jay ruled out of Tuesday, or is it too soon to know that?
I don't know. It was only yesterday that we decided to leave him in and not train, so I don't know how bad he is, but hopefully it won't be too long.
Yeah, just funny for me, I think this is the fourth game, I think Nikia Jose has been subbed off in and around the hour mark. I mean, is he fully fit yet?
Well, every time he's playing an hour, he's getting more minutes and he's getting fitter. I think it was tough for him today. He had two big centre halves, and they was very physical. And this wasn't very really a pitch to pass, and so he was making good runs, but it was difficult. You know, sometimes instead of him playing one and two touch, they always had to seem to take an extra touch because how bobbly it was. You know, so. So yeah, no, Nicky's doing well. I'm happy with what he's brought to the team.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Ahead of the Oxford defence, and Foster would try and close it down, and Mussinho gets himself in a bit of trouble. It comes to McGuinness on the edge of the penalty. A good challenge from Mussinho. Cashy gets there first. Cashy in the penalty. Cashy!
Oh, yes!
Emma Cashy!
What a finish!
His first goal of the season. Beats Eastwood. Diving to his right side. Cashy's running around the valley. Absolutely delighted for him.
McGuinness has stayed down though from the challenge.
And Charlton take the lead here at the valley.
So welcome back, it's Charlton Live here on Maritime Radio. That was Lee Bowyer speaking to the media after yesterday's 1-1 draw with Bristol Rovers. I mean, Lewis, he didn't sound too over the moon with the point, really, did he?
No, he sounded a bit defeated, really, didn't he? But I suppose he's got this hunger and this mentality. He wants to win every single game between now and the end of the season. So I think that's just part of what Lee Bowyer is about. So, he'll be annoyed, but at least we didn't lose, and you know, we go on to Tuesday and hopefully we get a win there and then, you know, keep winning.
I mean, it's the first time we've been behind in his tenure, as I mentioned in the interview there. I mean, so in terms of testing, we talked about this a couple of weeks ago, actually, when we were just on the winning streak. You know, it'd be interesting to see how we react when we do go a goal behind. So, you know, without needing really to change too much, he did seem to get reaction from his team.
Yeah, and I think he said after the after the Rotherham game, and I think even after the Northampton game, that they've set a standard now. So I think as soon as they start dropping below those standards, he's not going to be too happy, and I'm pretty sure he told them that. But yeah, like you say, we win a goal down. I think in previous weeks or previous seasons, we probably would have crumbled and we might have lost by more than instead of picking up a draw. But yeah, I think they show, like I said, I think it did kick us into gear a little bit. We started to play well after that, and as Bo said, you know, we didn't sit back and try and get him on the counter. We did sort of try and play with some sort of initiative, which was nice to see away from home.
You won't be surprised to hear this tweet from Charlton Exile. It says, I'm liking the interviews with Mr. Bowyer so much better than that last bloke. Dan tweeted in as well, saying, evening, lads, up the Reds. Tuesday is a massive game for us. We could go 3 points. clearing that race for that playoff spot, of course. Value Floyd Fred, that Carl Bennett, the one who scored the goal yesterday, was left Bristol Rovers on a free from Portsmouth in January, so they got him on a free as well. He looked a real lively little player, didn't he? Now, I mean, Lewis, you ain't been in for a while, so I mean, we haven't really asked you about your opinion on why Lee Bowyer has got the Midas touch. Why has he turned Charlton from Charlton into like Barcelona?
I just think that when it came down to the start of the season under Kyle, the system was working, but then I think as we got sussed out, there was a lack of a plan B, and I think as we got sussed out, the results worsened, and you know, relationships obviously broke. I think the crowd at the Fleetwood game was pretty dire, and then you know, and Kyle's gone. I was a bit surprised that he'd gone with the amount of time left for the rest of the season, but at the same time, his future was never concrete, so he's going to do that. But I just think what I love about it at the moment is that you've just got proper Charlton in charge. You've got Bowyer and you've got Jacko, and I think that the fans are getting behind that and believing in that, and maybe that is passing through to the team as well, I think. And you see the attendances recently, like Northampton away was absolutely ram-packed, yesterday was ram-packed, no doubt tomorrow Wimbledon will be jam-packed, and Portsmouth, and that is just people getting behind someone they believe in. And Bowyer's Charlton, Jacko's Charlton, and that's just, I think that helps, especially with where we are in the table and what we could potentially pull off should things go the way we want them to. I think everyone's sort of buying into that and giving it a real good go.
He seems to have taken a real shine to little Joe De Silva as well, doesn't he? I don't think he's ever said his name without saying the word little before him. I am keeping a track of him. I think I've got 11 or 12 little Joe De Silva snipped out now, which we're going to play in one big montage at the end of the season. But yeah, it's good to see. I mean, in terms of like, because obviously it's quite an interesting dynamic really, the way he's come in having been Carl's assistant manager already and not having much experience other than being Carl's assistant and a few weeks at Watford helping out Harry Kewell with the under-23s. So for him to have been brave enough to make his own decisions in terms of changing formation, chopping and changing the personnel in the starting lineup. I mean, yeah, some managers may not have been, like I say, brave enough to have done that.
No, and I think what we've got to remember with Bowes is obviously he's been working with us for over a year now, and he knows exactly what the players are capable of and what they're not capable of, and I think straight away, because you'd think as soon as, you know, as a number two gets a job, it's going to be the same system, so it's going to be pretty pointless, which is why you see quite a lot of number twos go straight away when people leave. But he obviously thinks we're probably better as a team playing a narrow because we're better on the ball. Well, he's already said that, you know, we're good on the ball, but we needed to do more off the ball in terms of our shape and stuff. But yeah, I mean, I think he already come out and said that he never envisaged him being here, because he only started on 2 days a week when he first come in, didn't he?
Yeah. So it's just a bizarre situation as well.
He's got balls to do, isn't he?
Yeah. So, we'll talk about the weird situation we're in with the takeover as well later on, because with that season ticket update. Now Dan says the game yesterday would have probably lost it under Robertson. Bowyer has given us our fight back. I mean, I'd certainly agree with, if you look at the last few performances under Carl. We certainly were playing like a team that, you know, that had lost a little bit of interest, you know, and it's no coincidence in my opinion that it coincided with when the manager decided he was on the way out.
I agree with that email, actually. I think that we would have lost that game under Carl. I think we would, again, like I say, with the shape and everything, we would have started a certain way, gone one down, and we wouldn't have changed anything. I believe that, like you say, the performances under Carl did slope, and when it became apparent that he wanted out, obviously it was all sort of done with.
Yeah, I mean a lot of people asked, were the players frustrated with the lack of change in formation? And you know, I mean, it's hard to tell from the outside, but when just by purely watching it, I mean, could you see players getting frustrated and thinking, oh, you know, we need to mix things up a little bit?
I suppose you don't really see it firsthand, but I think, you know, I imagine Josh McGinnis has had his frustrations this year playing up top on his own. I imagine people like Jose, and what was the comment that Kyle said, that we only have one striker and that was Josh, and he had a Jose and Gyro and all that sat on the bench. You know, and you think things like that would frustrate players, I'm sure. And you know, that's obviously changed now, and Lee Bowyer has got his way that he wants to play, and these players are getting a look in and they're performing. So I think that's just sort of a I don't know whether it's sort of a middle finger up at Kyle, showing them what they can do now, but who knows?
I mean, how much? I mean, because I've said it before, whereas I'm not sure if it will help in terms of the fact that Lee Bowyer obviously play football at the highest level in this country, Champions League with Leeds United, and you know, and in the Premier League as well, of course. Now, Kyle didn't only ever played at non-league, but you know, at the same time, I don't think Wenger or Mourinho played that much. You know, first class football. So, I mean, do you think it makes a difference? I mean, do you think there's anything that could be taken from it? I think Bowyer said the other day that he felt that, you know, his experience, he can, especially when players go into bad patches, he knows what it's like out there, and he knows how to help players who are perhaps going through a little bit of poor form.
Yeah, exactly. And I think he obviously knows what it's like at the highest level, the pressures of the higher levels. And, I mean, you know, when players are feeling it, even in and around our division, I assume that he knows what they want to hear and what they want to be done about things. And you know, he's got advice on his shoulders from the likes of Kirby and things he's picked up over the years at all these clubs and these things that he's done, so that can only benefit the guys in the dressing room, because it's such a young squad and they're probably all sitting around, you know, watching Bowyer when they were young and things like that. So having him around, I think, can only benefit those players. I mean, you only got to look at the improvements of Joe Aribo this season and Reevesy over the last couple of weeks, what having him around the place is like. I know he does one-to-ones with Aribo, doesn't he?
Bowyer.
And that's obviously benefiting him, because he's been fantastic.
Bob Liscombe's tweeted us in, by the way, saying he's after tickets for the AFC Wimbledon game on Tuesday, so I assume they've sold out. I'm not sure. I'm not there. I'm on holiday. It's the first league game I've missed in about 3 years. But we arranged it before the Wimbledon game got rearranged. So if you know of any spare tickets for the Wimbledon game, if you can tweet at RedValley9.
Who is it? Bob?
Yeah, Bob.
Oh, yeah, I've got someone.
Yeah, so all right. So hopefully we'll be able to sort you out there. Bob, right, let's have a look at a couple of emails after yesterday's game. Chris Davin, first of all, says it's a gas. A draw away and we feel deflated shows how far we have come recently. That's exactly what I said to my dad when I bumped into him in the Sainsbury's today. Because it shows, I mean, you think like, you know, going on the road, I've never felt confident beforehand, but the last couple of games, I mean, you know, especially when we went to Northampton, but yesterday I was saying, I think we bumped into you before, so yeah. you never know you with us, but the way we're playing, surely you've got a good
exactly, chance. Exactly, yeah, and it's refreshing to have that feeling about the place. Like I said, I think everyone's getting in behind it, and everyone's you know, buying into what Bo's trying to do in this last leg of games.
Yeah, Chris carries on saying the playoff places will go right down to the wire, and we're going to be doing that. I've got an Excel spreadsheet up for that, so don't worry, I've got some cracking playoff content coming up in a little bit. It says an individual error cost us. Pierce has been quality of late, so at least we can forgive him. Everyone knows the reason we didn't win. We started Kai. He's Palace and not been any good. Added to that, he's a jinx. Drop Kai and we will make the playoffs. It's a no-brainer. I mean, your views on that, Nate?
I can understand the slight hatred in Palace players. I can get that to an extent, but I think he's looked okay in spells. I said earlier, I just think he needs a run of games. And I mean, apart from, if we did drop Kai, I mean, who would we bring in at the moment? I mean, Fosu's not about. It's not like you can bring Cashy in and maybe push someone, Aribo, a bit more further forward, or Reeves. But I'd still give him game, not just because he's Palace, but just because I think he's the next best alternative for Fosu at the moment. Yeah. If playing in that system.
Yeah, I mean, compared to Tariq Fosu, I mean, I don't think he's quite at that level from what we've seen from him. Apparently, when he was at Shrewsbury last season, you know, he was the next best thing since sliced bread and that sort of stuff. But
yeah, I think like we've said about Kai, that he's got these moments in him. I remember one of the games, I think it was the Bradford game, where the sort of opening sort of 5-10 minutes, he looked electric, and then he completely went off the boil. And it's like, it's just that frustrating thing that he just needs that one thing to click. And I think if he gets that and realizes what he can do with his feet, especially because he's good with his feet, I think, and he's linking in play and everything like that, I think he just needs that one moment. I think he just needs a goal or a good assist of something that's going to boost him and think, you know, because he's a good player. He's obviously done it at Shrewsbury and whatever. So
see what happens in terms, especially when you get to play in a team that is good defensively, like we saw yesterday with Bristol Rovers. You know, you're going to try and pass your way through. It's not going to work. We're trying, the long balls weren't working as much because, you know, Lee Bowyer mentioned the two bulky centre halves that they had. So sometimes you do just need someone who can just run at a team. If we can't pass it around, just take him on, a bit of skill. And that certainly seemed to be our best way of getting into the box yesterday was when Kai was running, dancing in. Otherwise, it's either cross crosses or, you know, shots from outside the area.
Yeah, exactly. as a centre half, the last thing you want is someone running at you. You know, the last thing is you don't want to be running towards your own goal and or someone running at you with those quick feet and that pace.
Mm.
Yeah, like you said, he's no Fosu, but it's a consistency thing. You know, when you're at that age, you're still quite young. And we've all said that he just needs those games. But yeah, that was the only way that we were going to do it yesterday. And he, like you said, the first half he had a couple of glimpses and he maybe could have done better on his shot. But yeah, I just think we just get behind him, you know, because at the end of the day, yeah, he is Palace, but he's got a Charlton shirt at the moment and he is trying to get us into the playoffs, isn't he? So... But I can understand the frustration with some fans.
Yeah. Right, the next email comes in from our very own Mark Newbury. Says, evening chaps, the subject line is Bo, you're out. Evening chaps, right, that's it, I've had enough with all these draws. Where's the 3 points I demand every game? It turns out he's not the Messiah, he's just a very naughty boy. I jest, of course, but there are probably comments like this on some forum or other. But we've played a few games and picked up results. Other teams are going to arrange themselves differently to combat us now, and it's up to us to unlock them. With our better players, I mean that's true. We would have had a little bit of a surprise element with the way that Bayer's set us up now over the last few weeks. And you know, Bristol Rovers, a team that's very difficult to play against, became difficult to play against for us yesterday. Because and I guess they will see us how we've picked up a little bit of form, and they will try and combat us by changing their system or whatnot, or just setting up more defensively.
Yeah, I think they matched us first half, and I think we struggled a little bit because we didn't really have as much space that we thought we would have, but. There might be certain games where we might have to go different and go with two wingers or go to a flat 4-4-2. You know, like you say, the whole point of, you know, in games is that you have to adapt to different situations in a game. So if you're if they're cramping you out in the middle, then you're gonna obviously have to go wider, and then that's where when we brought obviously Mavadidi on to come down the sides a bit more. But you know, yeah. This is the time now where, and we're playing against, which we'll go to later, but we're playing against good sides now. Apart from Wimbledon, everyone else is, and Rochdale last game, everyone else is more or less in and around us. So we're not, they're going to be, don't worry, their scouts have probably seen us and know exactly what we're good at in that system and what we're not so good at.
And that's where it's going to be really trying for an inexperienced manager to, you know, because changing games can be quite difficult. And we saw it with Carl. I think we'd often struggle to change a game once we got setting a sort of a style of playing, particularly in a game at home where a team's made it difficult for us to break them down. If, you know, for then we never really seem to have an option other than to let's just throw in another tricky winger, see if he can do something a bit different. And so that's where Lee Bowyer will have to sort of prove himself in terms of trying to change things up. And, you know, he's done so far, you know, so far he's changed things up from the beginning, which has worked. So hopefully he'll be able to start doing that during games as well. And we did come from a goal behind yesterday. In the first time he has needed to change things up. Right, Mark's email continued. A draw away from home is acceptable. 10 out of 12 points is a good return, but it's close in the top 9. But we can't worry about others. Just keep going ourselves and the results will come. Says, I wasn't there yesterday. Brackets, cooking for nuns. Don't ask. But saw Big Mac only got 5 minutes, which was strange. If we're going for a goal, not to give him at least 15 is odd. Possibly he's being held back for Tuesday. I mean, yeah, do you think that was the case? I mean, because you're right, in that last 10 minutes, it may have been a case of just, all right, let's just send some long balls in. I think he did win a header, actually. As soon as he came on, we sent a bit of a diagonal that he won a flick on, but I don't think it was anywhere, didn't fall to anyone. Him, I mean, do you think we could have tried that a bit earlier?
Maybe, but then I think, like we say, he probably is waiting for Tuesday, because I think Jairo's had a lot of minutes recently, and so is Jose. So maybe he is looking at sticking Josh in from the start on Tuesday, and he had that in mind, but. I don't know. It looks like we could have won it. Let's be fair, but
yeah,
a point's all right, isn't it?
Mark continues. I expect Konza to come back in, but the Dons have a tricky winger, and I think Dick Steele would be more mobile against him. So interesting. We'll talk about our preview to AFC Wimbledon later on. It says, pleased to see Reeves keeping his increased good form going, and he's looking like the threat we knew he was. He says, the only grumble I have was I was listening to Louis on BBC Radio London pre-game, and he didn't refer to Jay De Silva as Little Jay, which is his rightful title. Maybe I might slip one of those in before the end of the season. Thanks for your email there, Mark. I mean, he's not the only one who noticed Reeves. I think he was one of the ones who was most disappointed with Ben Reeves throughout the season, actually, with what we've seen from him. So to see his sort of upturn in form has been very good. Right, we had a tweet in from Max St. John Brown. He says, do you guys think that we could beat Wigan, Blackburn or Shrewsbury over two legs, assuming we finish sixth, even though I have a feeling we'll finish fifth and play Rotherham personally. Anyway, going to Saturday, 6-pointer against Scunthorpe, come on you Reds. So, I mean, we're going to discuss our chances of getting into the playoffs in a little while, but I mean, he's given us a list there. So if we were to finish sixth, then it'd be one of Wigan, Blackburn or Shrewsbury.
Shrewsbury only.
Yeah. I agree.
They're the only one. Shrewsbury's, I mean,
I don't, over two legs. Yeah, I think, I don't think we'd win both games against Shrewsbury because they're a very good team.
Especially that advantage. Is it, you start away, don't you? No, you start at home if you finish sixth, don't you? Yeah. Yeah, away leg last. I think that would be the.
Yeah, so I think Wigan and Blackburn especially, and obviously Wigan, they're a cut above, I think, from us. Yeah. I think we'd very struggle. Even though we got 0-0 at Wigan, I still think over two legs, I think they'll have a bit too much for us.
At home they did us though, didn't they? They made us look silly.
But I just want to avoid Peterborough. That's the only team I want to avoid. I don't like them for some reason.
Yeah. What about Rotherham? You say you reckon?
I'd be comfortable with Rotherham.
Yeah, I think Rotherham, we've done well at home, but we beat them away. But again, it's difficult.
I think it's all changing the playoffs, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's a lottery
games.
Regardless.
Yeah,
I think.
It's 90 minutes. Form goes out the window because you've got nothing to lose.
It's what happens in those two games.
So,
yeah. As long as you don't get a penalties.
Yeah. Right, let's have a quick break here on Channel 9. When we come back, just discuss a little bit the takeover update that came with the season ticket thing earlier on during the week. Then we've got our little race for the playoffs Excel spreadsheet that I'm ready to start populating with some scores to find out if we're going to make the playoffs. And then, of course, there's plenty of other stuff to look ahead to, including Tuesday evening's trip to AFC Wimbledon.
Jada Silva and now forced to Kasky looking to whip the ball in, and he does, and it's a really dangerous ball all the way across
and get in there. Come on,
and it's super Josh McGuinness who has put Charlton two goals in front. They've been looking for that second goal. They haven't really had many chances apart from the Aribo strike early in the second half. The Charlton have doubled their lead.
Welcome back. It's Channel Live here on Maritime Radio on your Sunday evening. Louis Mendez, Lewis Cat, and Nathan Muller here in the studio coming to you live from the Valley. Right, don't forget, tomorrow night, myself and Nathan are going to be on Love Sport Radio, the Charlton Athletic fan show, or the Charlton Athletics fan show, as the preview seems to say to it. But yeah, we're going to be on
there.
We're going to be on there talking about the Reds. Bringing you some expert Charlton knowledge tomorrow night, Love Sport Radio, 9 o'clock. So that's 558 Medium Wave, London DAB, or indeed lovesportradio.com. If you want to tune in live, they also have a on-demand service on their website as well. So that'll be available straight after the show if you can't listen live to it. lovesportradio.com. You can phone in tomorrow night. We'd love it if you did phone in. We'll tweet all the details during the show so you know which number to call in. But we've had some cracking calls over the last few weeks.
Does Ahmed listen to this show? This is what I want to know.
Yeah, Ahmed from Dartford, if you listen to this show as well, because we'd love to hear from you. If you want to email us tonight, studio@charltonlive.co.uk, or you can tweet us at Charlton Live to have your say on tonight's show. But he calls in every week. We've had some, like I said, we've had some really good calls over the last few weeks. I mean, you can ring in, let us know what you've made of Lee Bowyer's start, what you made of the draw with Bristol Rovers, takeover update, whether you think we'll make the playoffs, anything like that you want to have your say on. It might be Ben Reeves as well, because that's something that Dan's just tweeted in saying, why do you think Reeves is performing better? Because he played in the 4-2-3-1 at Milton Keynes and played well. So what's changed apart from Robinson? What can you put your finger on why he started playing so much better? Run of games?
I reckon a run of games, a bit of belief, a bit of confidence. I think Bowes has obviously told him what he's good at, and I think he just does what he's good at. I think he's good on the ball. He gets on the ball. I found sometimes he went missing in certain home games. There was a home game, and Cole said it, where he sort of got marked out of the game, which is a bit weird for an attacking midfielder. But because he's so sly, he got a bit sort of bullied a little bit. And I think if you just give Reeves that little bit of freedom, I think he can do damage. But his work rate, which I've never defensively, I think is very improved. But I think Bo's know, he's told everyone what he expects, and I think they all know they don't put a shift in, they won't.
In a way, would that not reflect a bit badly on Ben Reeves that he wasn't putting in these performances beforehand? Mm. I mean, we did say that we'd seen a couple on the road from him, like that not as many fans would have seen, because obviously not as many fans go to away games as home games. I think Blackburn away actually played pretty well when we lost 2-0, and there was another one reasonably recently, which I can't off the top of my head think what game it was. But I mean, he's certainly doing it a bit more consistently now. And obviously the fact he had this, you know, this struggle with fitness at the start of the season would have held him back as well, and no real pre-season, I guess.
Definitely. I think he wasn't really in and around the first team picture for the first month or so, was he, as well? But he's just been a completely different player under Bo. And I think, you know, to what Nathan said, he's working under Lee Bowyer and Jacko, both midfielders, have both done it. Obviously, Bowyer's gone to ridiculous heights with Leeds and whatever, and Jacko's been there a really long time. So I think having those two drilling into what's expected, maybe Reeves is thinking, oh, you know, maybe I need to up my game here. Because he has been completely unrecognisable the last few weeks. There'd be what we were saying earlier about the way he can just turn his body and leave a man for dead. Earlier on in the season, he'd just been knocked to the floor.
Yeah, and his goal threat. I mean, we did see glimpses of his goal threat when he first came into the team, because he had that goal at Crawley in the Checker trade early on in the season. I think he had a couple in cup games as well.
A couple against Truro, didn't he?
Yeah. So
he also scored against us in 4MK when in the FA Cup.
That's screaming, wasn't it?
Yeah. So the problem is, I think he came here with a reputation as well, and I think Cole bigged him up a lot.
He probably came all the way from last January.
He was probably a bit big-headed, wasn't he? Yeah. I mean, literally.
Big four-headed. But I mean, even Cole come out and said, you know, he's a goal-scoring midfielder, which, you know, is true. But I think, because he was still trying to get up to speed, I think a lot of people were expecting him to sort of hit the ground running. And you know, and rightfully so, because he's a very good player. But it's just taken him, to an extent, like Marshall. Marshall took a few games just to try and get into the swing of it. Mm. But listen, I mean, yeah, he wasn't the greatest, you know, like you said, he played well at Blackburn, and I can't remember the other away game that you said, but he's doing it now, and that's the main thing. And like I said, the last five games, I think he's been our best player.
Right, we've got a message from VFF on the Charlton Live forum. Don't forget, there's a thread on the forum tonight if you want to have your say on the show and you haven't got Twitter or email available. He says, enjoying the show, great to hear some positivity, and it's true, it's very much more enjoyable to be positive. He says, really like the Lee Bowyer interviews. He's very down to earth and saying all the things you want a Charlton manager to say. Lee Bowyer and Johnny Jackson are leading the team and introduce real spirit and fight. Says the things that will encourage the players to get the best out of them, proper player management. Because that's interesting. I just wonder if at times we heard Carl throw the players under the bus, you know, particularly, like, I always remember Shrewsbury away last season when we lost 4-3. I mean, some of the comments from him after that game, that is a management style. I mean, we've seen Jose Mourinho trying it with Luke Shaw very much so, where he seems to slag him off every game. But in some cases you try and do that as a shock to the system. But Bowyer's, I mean, particularly with Kaikai, you know, he's very much bigging him up. So he's obviously trying to put a little bit of confidence into a player. And as we said, don't forget, this is a player who's, you know, worked under some very, you know, very accomplished managers when he was a player himself. He mentioned Terry Venables in an interview the other day, and obviously would have been under Bobby Robson at Newcastle as well. So you just wonder what he picks up from those managers that he's worked under before, Kerbs as well, to try and bring into his style.
Yeah, I think with Bowes, I think he said it from the off, isn't he? Really, you've got to earn the right to play, which I think you've seen, which I think is why a lot of people put in a lot. Not saying they wasn't working hard under Cole, of course I'm not, but there's a more. I find that there's a lot more aggression and a lot more tempo, and we're a lot quicker in how we go forward. I think we pass it through the thirds quicker, but I think you know what you get. So I think he bigs players up. But then at the same time, as much as he's saying, yeah, you're good at doing this and this, you've still got to do the ugly stuff. You've still got to do the dirty work, which no one really likes or enjoys doing. And I think everyone's buying into that. And I think everyone, it knows their roles. Everyone knows exactly what they got to do, where they're going to be in the shape. And he's paying dividends. And he's got to give Salah a bit of confidence, because you're not going to do it. If you start slating him, he ain't going to work for you, is he? He ain't going to try and give him that little bit of a boost, which I think he needs.
Right, VFF's message continues. I think playoffs are real potential despite the running. Mabadidi is back and building fitness, and hopefully Fosu will be ready for the Portsmouth or later games. The most positive I've felt about the team for a number of seasons, there is a chance for the playoffs. We only need a Du Châtelet sale to give everyone a real lift. Now, of course, I mean, segues quite nicely, that last line there from VFF on the Charlton Live Forum, into our next little bit here. Now, we've been talking about the, you know, there's a couple of weeks ago where we started off the show by saying this could well be the last show of the Du Châtelet era, because, I mean, the noises coming from those in the know was that there was talk of an announcement the following Monday, which again has obviously not come to fruition now. And
another 2 weeks.
Yeah, it's becoming clearer and clearer how very difficult it is to pinpoint what's going on here unless you are Roland Du Châtelet, and he doesn't seem to want to come on the show to tell us what's going on. So, I mean, interesting. I mean, because obviously the season ticket update came out this week now, saying that it came out last Thursday, saying that they were hoping to release the season tickets when the takeover had happened, but we're still waiting. So they said they're going to launch it either when the takeover happens or on Thursday. So obviously that's not much of a window. So the fact they said that must suggest that they think is a possibility it could happen. But also at the same time, are you looking at that thinking, oh, I just wonder how many people in this building at the Valley actually know what the hell's going on? I mean, yeah. Are they literally just not really getting much from Roland? They're only getting what Richard Murray's being fed by Roland, and Richard Murray has, you know, fed that to us as well. But even that's been proved to be not quite correct. So, I mean, even Richard Murray doesn't seem to know what's going to happen. It's purely down to one man to get this deal signed off when he's happy with what he's going to be paid, I guess.
Exactly, and you know, the sooner the better. And it is a bit of a nightmare that it's going back and forth so much. But at least we know something's happening. You know, that's the main thing. And once it's gone through, it's gonna be one hell of a party, isn't it?
I think with the season ticket thing, I can't see it happening by Thursday, and it'd be banter if they didn't sell the season tickets till Friday or something, just to be banter. But the thing that strikes me with the season ticket thing is, I assume the club have made some sort of, obviously they must have done some pricing strategy or something. Whether or not, if there's two parties or 22 parties, I've lost count. Have they had a say on that as well? Because if they sell the club in, say, like May, they've then gonna have the revenue for these season tickets for a pricing strategy they didn't even create. So did they have an input of it, or
they're saying about Bowyer and Jacko being kept on to the end of the season if the takeover goes through before the end of it. You wonder whether the clause in that as well is that if we don't get this over the line by then, these will be the prices and you have to stick to these prices until whenever, or if they're just going to announce a certain set of prices and then the people that renew an early bird price, and then if the takeover's gone through by the end of the season,
happens and they put it up by 200%, that'll go down well.
Yeah, it's a way to get on the front foot. Yeah.
Right, I think we're about to have our first on-air domestic. Daisy Morris saying, you keep talking about playoffs, do you think Charlton are good enough to be anything other than a League One team? Lewis?
Who's that?
Tell it to go away. What a nightmare. We are good enough to be in the playoffs, and we're going to win the playoffs.
Yeah, there we go. Excellent. Lewis's other half there. Nice having her say on the show. Is she a Trump
fan?
Nice to know
she's listening in and keeping in so much interest.
Is she a Trump fan?
No, she's not.
Nah, right.
Have a guess who she supports.
Don't.
Palace? Right, I'll block her. London Mike Tyson says, sad to say this, but do you think Solly has had his best days as both Konza or Dixtel are ahead of him now? I mean, Konza's not going to... I mean, I don't like seeing Konza in the right-back position personally, but Dixtel's certainly come in and not looked out of place at all, really, has he?
No.
Youngster, up-and-coming youngster like Solly once was?
Yeah, I think Dixtel's done brilliant since he's come in, but he's obviously come through the ranks as a DM, hasn't he? So, and obviously...
That's true, actually, yeah.
But I don't really like Konza there at right-back. But, you know, needs must, and I think it works at the moment. Solly, he's got a point, because I don't think he's been bad this year, but I don't think he's been at his greatest this year. And my worry is just his knee or knees, whatever, if they're plastic or whatever, I don't know. But yeah, I still think he has a part to play, whether or not he'll be a long-standing member of the first team. But then the problem you have then is if then you go out and try and buy a right back, you're not really going to be able to sell it to go, yeah, well, you'll play now and then whenever Solly's not available. So it's a bit of an odd one, unless we've got someone down in the right. Well, obviously we've lost Aaron Barnes, he's obviously gone to Colchester now. But yeah, it's interesting. But yeah, he's got a good point, because I don't know I don't know how serious his knee injury is. I mean, we see him just before we come on the Channel Live show and he had crutches, or was it a Thursday? No, it was a Thursday. And he was on crutches and I thought it was quite bad, but we've not really heard anything from Alistair Thrush about that, have we? About how his knee's getting on. But yeah, it's a valid point, and we just have to wait and see how his knee's getting on.
Right, Cello says, probably wouldn't fancy any of Shrewsbury, Wigan or Blackburn over two legs. If we finished fifth and got Rotherham, they would be up for revenge, but they are all tough, to be fair. If we are to go up, we will have to do it with a lot of painful sweating, but it would be well worth it. Right, I mean, we're going to have a quick break, and then we are going to come back and work out if it is going to be us in that top six come the end of the season.
Be occupying that left hand side at the moment. Little step over onto his left foot. Marshall, ball in the box is good. And Rebo, first time.
Oh, shot. What a goal!
Lovely finish!
Oh, what a goal!
Joe Rebo gives Charlton the lead. Great ball in from Mark Marshall on the left hand side. Chips it in. And Rebo with a calm left footed volley have found the bottom right corner and Charlton have the lead.
So, welcome back. It's Charlton Live here on Maritime Radio. Now, playoff race is hotting up and it's as tight as a tiger in this League One top six. Now the top three are running away with this division and it's going to be very harsh on whichever one of those three doesn't finish in the top two out of Wigan, Shrewsbury and Blackburn, because all three of them deserve to go up automatically, but one of them won't, so one of them will have to join us peasants in the playoffs. But we're hoping that's going to be us. Now, if you look at the league table now, Rotherham are in the most comfortable position, but they're on a little bit of rough form. What did they do? Oh, they beat Fleetwood yesterday, didn't they? 3-2. But other than that was only their second win in six games, having lost here on Easter Monday. So they've played 41. They've got 69 points. They're in fourth. Plymouth are in fifth. They've played 40. They've got 63 points and plus 5 goal difference. We're in sixth, so we're just inside that top six. Also having played 40, so us and Plymouth have a game in hand on the other clubs that are vying for those playoffs. So we've got a goal difference of 6, which is 1 better than Plymouth, 3 better than Portsmouth, who are below us, but on joint on the same points as us, which is 62. But Peterborough, who are in 8th, they've also played 41. They're on 61 points. They've got plus 13 goal difference. So they've, of the other than Rotherham, of the challengers, they've got the best goal difference. Scunthorpe also on 61 points. They've played 41 as well, same as Peterborough. So they've not got a game in hand on us. We've got a game in hand on them. They're on 61 with plus 9. So there's two teams 1 point behind us, one team on the same points as us, with 3 worse goal difference, having played a game more, which is Portsmouth, who we have to play. And there is Plymouth, who are above us with 1 more point, but with 1 less goal difference. So, I mean, it really is tight. I mean, you'd think that Rotherham should have just about enough to see themselves home. They've got a 7-point gap at the moment, so that should be enough for them.
But
we will put them in just because into our little prediction, just because of the form. So, I've written up all the fixtures that all of the teams involved have left, and I've tried to put them into date order. They're slightly confusing with Posh, because they're playing on a Thursday at one point, so we'll try and get around that. But so we'll start off with Rotherham, who are above us. Now, in terms of difficult games, they've got to play Wigan away as their next game. So obviously that's not an easy place to go. They've got to go away to Gillingham, home to Bristol Rovers, who we saw yesterday. They're not an awful team. They're not on a great run, but they can play when they need to. Plymouth away. That's going to be a big game for Plymouth and potentially for Rotherham if they have a struggling little run. And then they close the season at home to Blackpool, who we know are struggling, had been struggling, got a great win, 5-0 win against Bradford City yesterday. So let's go through their results first now. So Rotherham are going to be away to Wigan. Now, what shall we say they're going to get out of that?
Nothing. 2-0 Wigan.
2-0, right? So we're just going to put 0 points on that. I'm not doing goal difference because my Excel skills are... I mean, they are, my Excel skills are brilliant, but I haven't got around to making it. So, right, so Rotherham then go to Gillingham. Gillingham, who sort of... You know, I think they're doing okay. I think they're not going to get... They're above the relegation zone by 8 points. So I think their season's pretty much going to tail off into you know, safety. So do you think they'll Rotherham go there?
Win there, yeah.
Right, so that's 3 points. Then they're at home to Bristol Rovers, Rotherham.
I think Bristol will start playing the kids a lot more now, so I think the win.
Nothing to play for.
Rotherham, right, yeah. So another 3 points. Then on Saturday the 28th of April, they're away to Plymouth. Now that's a huge game between Plymouth and Rotherham, so obviously this one's going to count for two of our teams. I mean, which way do you see this going?
I've seen that as a draw.
Yeah, I'd say a draw.
Or Plymouth win. I don't think Rotherham will win.
So I, what are we going for?
I'd say a draw, but
yeah, for a draw, win, it'd be Plymouth. So I'll put that into Plymouth's scores as well, so that is Rotherham at home 1 point. Right, and then finally Blackpool at home on the last day of the season for Rotherham.
Well, Blackpool start scoring all of a sudden,
don't
they?
Yeah, Blackpool
start
scoring.
But it's a win there, isn't it?
Yeah, I'd say that's a win.
Right, okay, so let me just sum that up. That's a sum function, anyone who knows how to use Excel. So, right, so we think Rotherham are going to end with 77 points. Right, so let's head over to Plymouth now. Plymouth, big game, again, involving two of the clubs in the playoff race. They're at home to Portsmouth on Saturday, so how do we see that going?
I reckon a draw.
Yeah, I'd say a draw.
South Coast. Oh, that's far away, but it's still South Coast, isn't it?
South Coast Derby.
South England Derby.
Right, so we're going for 1 point each, yeah? So are you going to do that for all of the teams playing each other in this top six?
No.
Right, okay. Then Plymouth have to go to Northampton, the worst team.
Oh, yeah.
3 points, right, okay. Then they've got to go away to Rochdale.
I'd say a draw.
Yeah.
I think Rochdale need, they got game in hand.
Banged three points yesterday, didn't they?
Did they?
Yeah, it's three all.
Oh, of course they did, yeah. Right, then another one involving two of our teams. Plymouth go to Scunthorpe away. Now, this is interesting because this is happening in the last week of the season. Yeah. Now, most teams are getting their games in hand sorted out in the midweeks before the last week, but this game's going to happen. We would have all played our penultimate game. We would have played Blackburn at home, but Scunthorpe will be hosting Plymouth. Their game got rained off on Easter Monday in the last week of the season. So, added pressure for both sides there. Obviously, both within the playoff hunt.
I think Plymouth.
Yeah, so we're going for Plymouth to go and win at Scunthorpe, who have had a difficult ride. So I need to put Scunthorpe, Plymouth, I need to make that nil. Excellent. Right, and then finally they'll end at Gillingham, Plymouth. So what are we saying?
It's a nothing game for Gillingham, isn't it?
Yeah, so three is again. So they started off with 63 points. So they're going to end on 75 points. Right, I'm going to do us last for the tension. So Portsmouth, they're at home to Plymouth, which we've put down as a draw. Now they've got to go all the way up to Bradford. Now Bradford have really tailed off,
really
even
gone,
since Simon Grayson's come in. So how do you see that one, Portsmouth? Yeah,
I'd say a draw. I think Bradford, they're going to have some sort of response after that 5-0.
Yeah?
I can't see Bradford winning. But I think it'd be a toss-up. Portsmouth, Bradford's half place to go.
Portsmouth did concede three against Rochdale.
So half place to go.
Right, so we'll go for a draw.
We'll do a draw.
Right, okay, we're going to have to say Charlton now because they're playing us. So Pompey against Charlton at Fratton Park are the three games at the end of the season.
I'm so nervous. I can see...
Sold out home.
I can see Pompey win.
Really?
Unfortunately.
So we're putting us down as a defeat.
Just because of the crowd.
Yeah, they've sold out and they'll be buzzing.
All right, so now we're going to Bury away for Portsmouth.
Next.
3 points. Even we won there when we were playing badly. Right, and then their final game, huge, huge game. This will be on the final day of the season. Portsmouth versus Peterborough.
That's hard, that one.
At Fratton Park.
And you know that's going to be bouncing as well.
Yeah,
I'd have to say a draw if I had
draw,
to say.
Yeah? So yeah. Score, draw?
Yeah, go on.
Right, so we're putting... So we're saying that... Oh, so you're saying Portsmouth are going to have a very bad run between now and the end of the season. They're only going to pick up... six more points, although three of them are going to come against us. So they started off with 62, so they're going to end on 68 points, which is what we like to see. Peterborough, right, they are at home to Rochdale, who are of course fighting for their lives. Which way do you see that going?
Oh, that's hard.
That's hard, but I'd call a draw, because I think they'd have got it all to fight for to get to stay up.
I don't know. Yeah, go for a draw.
I think Dad have just got to be generous to ourselves. And then this must be a game that's on TV because Peterborough are travelling away to Blackburn Rovers.
Cool.
Which way do you see that one going? Yeah, Rovers.
Rovers. Yeah.
Yeah. Right, and then and then Peterborough have to travel away to Shrewsbury Town.
I reckon they'll get a win. I reckon they'll score goals. I'll go for a win. But if I could be outnumbered here, I don't mind.
Shrewsbury have had a wobble and obviously lost today in the Checker Trade Trophy. Right, Posh at home to Fleetwood on the penultimate day of the season. Fleetwood are fighting for their lives, of course.
They picked up the form, weren't they, Fleetwood?
Yeah.
Last home game of the season, though, for Borough. I can't see nothing else but a Borough win.
Yeah. Right.
I'd say so.
And then, so Portsmouth away on that final day of the season. We said that was going to be a point apiece, didn't we? So, what did they start off on? So that's Peterborough. They started off on 61 points. So that would give them 69 points. Excellent. So as it stands, we've got Rotherham finishing with 77, Plymouth finishing with 75, Portsmouth finishing with 68, and Posh finishing with 69. Scunthorpe. Right, so Scunthorpe are playing us here at the Valley next Saturday after we've... So don't forget, we've got Wimbledon before then, but Scunthorpe here at the Valley.
I say draw.
Draw?
I'd have said a Charlton win.
Charlton win?
I'm being generous.
What do you reckon?
Charlton win.
Go on then.
So I watched Scunny against Oxford, and Oxford are rubbish, and Scunthorpe were terrible.
Yeah, excellent. That's good news.
Away from home as well, I thought they weren't very good.
Yeah, okay. So we'll give Charlton the 3 points for that game, so that's nil points for Scunthorpe. I got the Portsmouth one wrong, because I accidentally put them down for nil rather than three, so they're actually going to end on 71 when they play us. So right, Walsall at home for Scunthorpe?
Yeah, I think Scunny.
Yeah, 3 points.
Nothing right. Game for Walsall, is it?
Yeah. Milton Keynes, Dons away, struggling. Milton
Keynes,
isn't they?
Yeah,
three points.
Yeah,
three points.
I think Dons are down. I think
right, we're going to play Plymouth at home, which we've gone. We've said that Plymouth are going to win. Bradford at home on the final day of the season for Scunthorpe.
It's a nothing game for Bradford, though, isn't it? But I just think I don't think Scunny are all firing. They've let their manager go. They haven't even brought anyone in, have they, to replace?
Yeah, so is it a derby up there? Is that Yorkshire? Is it? Or Scunthorpe in Yorkshire?
I don't know. They're all up north, aren't they? So what are we saying, Bradford?
Well, they got a pony draw yesterday.
Go for a win.
Win for Scunthorpe, right, so Scunthorpe are going to end on 70 points. So, Charlton, we're currently, at this time in proceedings, we're on 62 points. So we need, to get into the playoffs, we need to finish above, at least, how many of these teams we need to finish above? We need to finish above three of these teams. right, let's see how we go. So, Charlton, away to AFC Wimbledon on Tuesday. What are we saying?
Draw?
Yeah.
Yeah, right, so that's one more point for us. And then we go up to Scunthorpe. We're at home to Scunthorpe, which we said we're going to win. Shrewsbury Town away.
Draw.
Yeah, right, so I'll put that down as 1 point. Ooh, we need some more points here. Portsmouth, we said we're going to lose. Blackburn Rovers are coming to the Valley on the penultimate day of the season.
I reckon we're going to be bouncing. I reckon we're going to have one of our performances of the season. We're going to win that.
Like an old when we played Leeds all those years ago. A silly Apo Soldier head.
If it's going to be close, I reckon we'll pick our game up and hopefully Blackburn will win up by that stage.
Right, so we're saying 3 points against Blackburn. Then we go away to Rochdale. So as it stands, we're on 70 points. Rochdale away.
Charlton.
Yeah,
I think so.
They'll be safe or down by then. We got enough, I think.
That's good news, because that takes us up to 73 points. Portsmouth. So if you said the draw against
Wembley,
if you said the draw against Rochdale or Blackburn, then we would have been on the same points as Portsmouth, and it would have come down to goal difference.
See, I would have said
our goal difference is three better than theirs at the moment. But obviously, if they'd have beaten us, which you said they will, then that would have
I'd have thrown it out.
I think it all depends on like Rochdale if they're down or not, and Blackburn whether they're promoted already.
If we win Tuesday and win Saturday, I think it's...
Yeah, I've just got a bad feeling about Tuesday. I don't know why, I just don't like it.
Always do it, Dons. Last year, we were up when they scored last minute. It's just one of them.
Especially now they've got Lloyd, Sam, Piggott, Tom Saws, Blimmin, who else they got there? Barry Fuller. I've got everyone from Charlton there now. So.
Yeah. Right, so delighted to say that we will be in the playoffs come the end of the season. Right, we've got five minutes left on tonight's Charlton Live. Almost time to look ahead to Tuesday's game at Wimbledon. Just quickly, Charlton XL. So season ticket announcement only came out when we were suddenly back in the top six and looking good. I suspect the club is simply trying to maximise benefits of the current feel-good factor around the Valley. I mean, it has got to the stage now where something had to be said, because purely... Mm. Like, this is when season tickets would normally be on sale. A lot of clubs would already have them out by now, I'm sure. And London Innit Geezer says, the early bird thing is a rip-off, as the early bird discount is always extended. Dan says, I'm going to Portsmouth, but you've put me right off now.
So am I.
Because I put that down as a defeat in the...
We've just got battered every time I've gone there, so...
Yeah,
and you stay at home.
Yeah, I am.
Mark says, did you see a Jose describe the football being played under Slade as minging?
Yeah.
That was so in the funny. News Shoppers exclusive interview with Nicky Jose. Said it makes a change for a player, to be honest. I mean, you remember when Jose scored that penalty away to Gillingham last season when we drew 1-1 and he celebrated right in front of Russell Slade? And that was right. That was finally when at half time, because we played the 4-5-1 under Slade a lot, didn't we, even at home?
No,
so when we finally switched to a 4-4-2, and he clearly decided to rub that in the face of Russell Slade. Excellent. Right, who trying to look ahead Tuesday's game? I mean, big decisions to be made now. Full-backs, strikers, do they change? Midfield, does it change? Does Kai Kai play? Does Marshall play? I mean, how do you see us lining up on Tuesday?
I can see us... I reckon we'll probably start McGuinness up front with Nicky. I think Page will play. I think Cons will come in at right back. Midfield, I can't see too much changing. I think it'll be the same four. I think you'll have Kai Kai, Reeves, JFC and Rebo. I think Zyro will drop out and obviously Duke still. I think that's all I can see, but you don't know. You might want to go a bit more direct and have Marshall might get some minutes out wide. I don't know.
I hope Page is all right, because for the minutes for him, not two games. It's sort of the first time he'd have the two games in the short space. So hopefully he's all right, because obviously Jada Silva's still.
Little Jay.
I assume.
Jay's going to be out for a while by the sounds of it. Right, David Rasman, just emails in. Whatever the season's outcomes, fans have been posting on social media sites that Bowyer and Jackson should be given the job permanently, even when new owners come in. But does Bowyer want to be a manager? Fans seem to be presuming he does. Listening to some interviews, he doesn't seem to come across that he wants to get involved in long-term in management. He still has to finish all of his badges, etc., and has said he stepped in when asked to take up the manager post. He also has other interests outside of football. Just wondering if Bowyer will stay on at the season's end, even if new owners want him. I mean, he does have the badges you need to be in League One, so if he wanted to, he can do. He was asked during press day on Thursday, I think it was, about whether he'd be dealing with new contracts for players. And he very much said, oh no, that's been nothing to do with me. So he doesn't seem to have been having thoughts about that at this moment in time. I mean, do you think, I mean, on his first interview, I remember him saying, he was obviously asked, would you like to do this full time? And he said, ask me at the end of the season. If we get into the playoffs, even if we don't win them, if we get into the playoffs, surely he's achieved what he's been set to do. So would you think he'd be tempted to do it full time?
Well, it's like you say, he's definitely achieved what he set out to do. Because before he came in, you know, the week before he came in, we were thinking we had no chance of making the playoffs. And now we're talking about scraping in. And, you know, I'd like to think that he could carry on and be given a go next season if he wanted to do it. But I think it's all down to Bowyer, isn't it, really? I think if he proves himself, then I think anyone that came in would be silly to give it to somebody else.
Do you think, would you be tempted to give him a longer deal?
I don't think he'd want it long term. I don't think. No, I don't think so. I think obviously he knows he's doing it now. Because then he'd have to get inside of the recruitment side of things, and I don't know if there's any plans. I can't see it happening, him being here full time. But I wouldn't say I wouldn't like it. Of course I wouldn't, because he's obviously my hero, but I can't see it. I think when we get taken over in the summer, I think they'll bring their own man in. I really do.
Well, didn't know Nathan knew when it was happening. Exclusive Charlton Live.
Yeah, hello.
Nathan there. That's when the takeover's happening. Right, we've run out of time here on tonight's Charlton Live. Don't forget, we'll be back tomorrow evening in Love Sport Radio at 9 o'clock with the Charlton Fan Show. Make sure you phone in to have your say on that show. And then we'll be back on Thursday again with a big match preview. I won't be here. I'm in Poland to visit Michael Zyra's homeland. but Tom and Nate will be here, and if we get other people involved as well, that'll be on Thursday night here on Maritime Radio at 7 o'clock. Right, Nathan and Lewis, thanks for coming in this
evening.
Cheers,
boys.
No worries, Lee.
I've been Louis Meadows. Hope you've enjoyed the show. Thanks for all your tweets and emails. Don't forget to tune in, as I say, tomorrow night at Love Sport Radio. Hope you've enjoyed it. Hope Charlton win some points while I'm on my holiday as well. I'll see you later.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.